Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome. It is about 9:20, so we're going to start with our hymn sing. And if Diane has the number, then she's going to play it. If not, Pastor's going to lead us in our first hymn sing of God is So Good.
We can see
and I think she's got it. Thank you, Pastor, for helping us with that one. Does somebody have a request right now? Yes, go ahead, Ron. 723. And we'll do the first and last verses of Shall We Gather at the River, 723, verses 1 and 4, 723. I saw Trudy's hand. 701, 1 and 4, When We All Get to Heaven, 701.
Before us, soon his beauty
see Alita's hand. 706, soon and very soon, verses 1 and 3. So take a peek down at the bottom of the page. There's the repeating words for verse 3. 706. Five one two. Stand by me. And can we do the first and last verse, Mary? Is that okay? 1 and 5 of 5 1 2. It up on that one. Thank you for those wonderful selections today, and we will now continue with our worship service. Thank you. Thank you so much, Diane. It's wonderful to have you here today. We are fortunate to have wonderful pianists who can share their talent with us in this beautiful church. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We're so glad to see you here and in present, worshiping with us, as well as those of you that have tuned in on Zoom. So welcome, welcome. Just a reminder for those of you that are here, please sign in on the pew pads so that we can keep a record of our attendance and then pass those along down the pew so that other people can sign in and you can learn names if you need to. There's also prayer cards in the back of the pew pockets if you'd like to fill those out. And you can place them in the offering plate on the way out. We'd also, of course, like to welcome you to join us in the fellowship hall across the breezeway after the service. Okay, so it's time for our announcements. And of course, it is the first Sunday of February, so we have February birthdays. I don't know about your family, but I have quite a few connected friends or family. My nephew's was the first, my good friend's is the second, and my brother's is the fourth, and I don't know, it just seems like there's a lot of February birthdays out there. But here in our church, we have Carol Pastilli, Sharon Kelsey, and of course, Pastor Phillips and Mary. So I think we're gonna sing Happy Birthday, because it's the first Sunday in February. So let's sing Happy Birthday to our February people. Happy birthday, Pastor. Are you going to tell us? You're going to tell us a number?
I just am turning 20, from 29 to 30.
Oh, it's a big 30 this year. Okay, well, we'll keep that in mind. Thanks, Pastor. He does act about that age, though, don't you think? He acts pretty young. All right.
Don't you think that I look like 30 years old? Right? If I dye my hair, I look like probably 28.
I don't doubt that. And a reminder that the February newsletter is available in the Narthex. I saw some people picking it up today, so that's great. And then those of you that like to read it electronically, of course, please be sure that you're getting it in your email. We also need contributions to support our two Common Hope-sponsored children in Guatemala. The church has been doing this a very long time, and of course, some of our members even visited them in Guatemala in the years past. So if you can help with this donation, just mark it in your envelope for Common Hope. And you can do that anytime throughout the year. So if you forget today, you can do that another day. This Saturday, February 8th, is the electronic waste drive, 9 a.m. to noon. Or if the truck fills up before that, they'll be gone. So the recommendation is to try to get here early. And my understanding is it's a very organized, orderly process. You pull your car around, you'll follow the traffic pattern, all your electronics are in your car, and they take care of all of it for you, and then you just drive away. So if you have things to donate, please do that. There is a list on the website, so you can be sure that you're bringing things that are acceptable. And the money that is raised from this goes to a wonderful cause for local scholarships and other philanthropic educational events through our local PEO group here. So thank you if you can participate in that. Dina Barwick is still doing her Bible study, Encounters with Jesus Through the Eyes of Mark. And she does this on Mondays, the next one. Of course, this Monday, and it's through March 3rd, and you can join in at any time. So if you miss the first ones, it's okay. Just make sure and email Dina at the email there. And again, all this is on the website, or you can ask me or Deb or something, and we can find that email for you if you didn't get it off the website. The pastor's luncheon this month is February 12th. At Legend 8 China in Kalamasa again, $15 for a wonderful, wonderful meal and fellowship time. But you do need to let us know if you are coming. And there's a sign-up sheet at the script table in the fellowship hall. And that's another reminder that we do sell script here, and it's a wonderful opportunity to donate to the church without feeling like you're giving any extra money, because you're just paying for your groceries and those script cards come back to the church a certain percentage. So please, Kathy's always there almost every Sunday with lots and lots of script cards for you. So please consider doing that if you shop at Stater Brothers. And finally, it is a Good Samaritan time, and I did see an offering plate in the back, or you can just make a note of it on an envelope if you'd like to, too, just to give money or Stater script cards to the Good Samaritan Fund, and that allows the church to have some discretionary money to give to surprising, you know, events where they need to help some families or people out with food. Okay. Yes, oh, the restroom. I almost forgot. As soon as Deb signaled me, I knew, oops, I forgot something. There's a little water leak that has finally been discovered, and so the water's shut off to the restroom in the back of the church here. So if at any time today you need to use the restroom, please be aware that that one's not available, and you'll need to go over to the fellowship hall. So I like to know that where, you know, things are, so I'm sure everyone out here that might need it wants to know that, so thank you. And I don't know anything about the repair time, but we will let you know.
It'll be repaired this week.
Okay, so it's getting repaired this week, so it should be okay next Sunday. But for today, please go across the fellowship hall. Okay, then thank you, and we will now continue with our call to worship. So stand as you are able, please, and please join me in our call to worship. Jesus invites us to the gospel feast and wells joy deep within our souls. He prepares for us a table to celebrate life even before harsh realities. We know that he causes everything to work together for our good. Jesus is the delight of our existence and keeps us singing as we go. And speaking of singing, let's continue with our next hymn, To God Be the Glory. That's number 98, and we'll sing verses 1 through 3.
Jesus, the Son, and give him glory.
the peace of Christ with your neighbors and welcome visitors. Peace be with you all. No, she didn't switch it. Thank you, everyone. And of course, we hope that you will continue this wonderful fellowship across the way after the service. It's now time for our sharing of joys and concerns, and Deb is coming around with the microphone. So just please raise your hand, and she'll be happy to help you out.
Let's welcome our lovely worshipers on Zoom first. Hello, Helen. So glad to see you. And hello to June and Joyce. And Bill and April. Chris, David, and Alicia. My iPad doesn't allow me to update, and then without the update, I cannot get into Zoom. So that's why I don't have that iPad set up.
Good morning. Another update here. I can update. As everybody knows, we've been going through quite a process of trying to get her imaging done for the oncology. This last Tuesday, like normal, she called the imaging department at Redlands Community Hospital, and she said to the girl, "You girls probably say to yourself, oh no, it's Lorene again." And she says, "No." The lady said, "No." She says, "There's five of us working here, and we've all handled your calls, and we know what you're going through. It's driving us crazy." She says, "We even cry." So she says, and this was the usual drill, she says, "I'm going to try to contact them again." She says, "I'll be calling you back about 2:30 in the afternoon." Okay, so I was out when that all happened. I came back, and about 11:30, the phone rang, and it was the girl again. And she says, "I know I said I'd call you at 2:30, but I've got to call you and tell you this. We were so upset with the way you've been treated that we went to our supervisor here at Redlands Community. He that supervisor went to the supervisor of Optum Insurance, and they paid a visit to the oncology department at St. Bernardine's Hospital in San Bernardino. I can't tell you what the exact talk was, but basically it was, if you don't get this straightened out, we're not going to send any patients over here anymore. And we all know money talks. So anyway, she has her imaging appointment next Thursday. Thursday the 13th, the following week. We've already had her blood work done this past week, and she's gotten the liquids that she has to take. It's going to be about 4.5 hours worth of imaging, four different images. But thank God, we couldn't believe it. We were in tears. It's finally going to happen. Only five months late. Thank you, everybody, for all your tears. I mean, your prayers.
I'm going to ask a continuous prayer for my grandson, Albert, who was deployed to Poland. I actually was able to have contact with him on Friday, and he said, I'm doing fine, Grandma. Thank you for the prayers. He goes, but it's very, very different here, and I miss home.
I'd like to ask for prayers, too, for my brother-in-law, Jeff. His cancer is back. He has Parkinson's, and he's decided to try and do some radiation to try and keep the cancer at bay. But the outlook is not good in the long run, but just prayers for him for stability and faith and hope.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Jeff is covered either way.
Hi, Judith Thompson. First of all, I'm just glad to be back because I have been out almost all month with two back-to-back infections, one of them being a cold, and I rarely have a cold ever, maybe 12 colds in my whole life. It hit me like pretty much like a truck. I finally have most of my voice back, not all of it, but just I want to thank everyone for your prayers and kind of checking up on me and your well wishes and just your concern and compassion. I really do appreciate it. It does help. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores. I have two concerns and a joy. I'll start with a joy. Two joys and one concern. I'm getting that mixed up. Yesterday we had the church movie, and Deb always picks a good movie, so I enjoyed that a lot. And I don't know why we don't see more people there for the movies. My other joy is that there's two women's basketball games on television, and one of them is right now, and I'm taping it, and then I will watch it when I get home. But I really enjoy women's basketball, and they're frequently on ESPN, which I don't get. So when they're on regular television, I just really enjoy that they're on. But my concern is for my niece, Emily, and her two daughters. Normally, on the weekends, Allison and I go down to visit with them. And this weekend we didn't get to go because all three of them are sick. And Emily was particularly concerned that she didn't want her mother coming down because she figures her mother would catch whatever they have. And Allison's immune system isn't very good, so she didn't want her mother to catch anything. I don't think she wanted me to catch anything either, but she was really worried about her mother. So anyway, I would like prayers from Emily and her two daughters. And that's it.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute.
Just want to add a little bit more about the water leak that I found this past week. And I just happened to hear noise in the sanctuary bathroom, and then apparently it was a water running. Couldn't find out where. and went to the meter, and the water was running really fast. So I shut it up and came back following day. I didn't hear the noise. And then I went to the meter, and then the meter was still running really fast. Went around everywhere. In the every building, every bathroom, the parsonage even couldn't find the leak, and happened to walk through the courtyard from the parsonage, and then found the leak. Water was pumping up from the ground in the back of the narthex, and apparently it's been leaking that way for some time, and our water bill. Back in October last year was over $500. So, and it looks like that there was the one major leak. There's no other place. And then Judy found the running water in the bathroom, and that needed to be fixed. So with that, I guess we won't have any more high water bills. So thanks be to God for that.
Yes.
That's why we don't get the water in the sanctuary bathroom, but we will take care of it sometime this week.
Thank you, everyone. It's now time for our unison prayer. If you could please join me in an attitude of prayer as printed on your bulletin or on the screens. Dear Lord Jesus, you have promised us a life filled with joy and freedom. In our weaknesses, we often find ourselves trapped. Yet it is your truth that sets us from the chains of bias and prejudice. Your grace releases us from the burden of sin and guilt. Help us enter the life of Jubilee founded in Calvary, liberated from all forms of bondage that we ourselves have created. In your precious name, amen.
Let's continue our prayers in silence. We have heard some sad news this week in addition to the fires in the LA area. Lives were lost because of this aviation accident. So let us remember them in our prayers, and let us go to the Lord, bring all our cares and concerns and our prayers for our loved ones at this time. Lord Jesus, as we look at where we are today, we can say with certainty that you have been so good to us. You have listened to our prayers, and you have loved us and blessed us. Without you, without your presence, without your guidance, without your grace, we would not have been here. We couldn't have made this far. It is all because you have been there all along upon our life journey. Even when we did not see you, you were there, holding us, carrying us in your arms, and guiding us into the paths of safety that we may be spared from dangers. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. But our prayers go out to all those who are in trouble. Those fire victims wondering how they can build up their life again. And all the families whose loved ones was perished by this accident in the air. There are many things that trouble us in this world today. But Lord, in spite of all the questions in our hearts and in our lives, we know that you are in our life. You are in this world. You are our sovereign God. And you have everything in this world in your hand. So, Lord, we come to you believing that by your power, our lives has been sustained. And not just our lives, O Lord, but the whole world. You have sustained this whole world. This world has been at the very edge of so many dangers. Dangers of war, disasters, and all kinds of turmoils. And you have held this world together in your hand. So we acknowledge your power. We acknowledge your presence in our lives and ask you, O Lord, to show your mercy once more upon this world, upon our loved ones and upon us and upon this church. May we come to you, may we close to you every day, that we may continue to worship you, confessing that you are our Lord, our Savior, you are our sustainer. You are the designer over our life path. Acknowledging who you are, O Lord, we submit to you once more and ask you to use us as your disciples, that we may carry out your will and share your love and let people know that you are the Savior of this world. So we come as we confess that you are our Savior. You are our sovereign Lord. And to you and to your power we yield. And as we pray together, we also join our hearts praying that you fulfill your will, that we may glorify you in all that we do. So we now join our hearts in prayer, praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in our next hymn, number 347, Spirit Song.
Fill your heart and set these bonds.
Thank you. Now it's time for our scripture reading. And today's reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And the verses describe the beginning of the Galilean ministry and the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth. Verse 14. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding region. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and that we are supposed to rejoice and be glad. Actually, that's what should happen every day of our life, but we don't get to celebrate our life in Jesus. I'd like all of us to listen to the message of from the Bible, and maybe we can apply that to the way that we live. And I pray that as we listen and worship, listen to the word and worship together, we will have a visit from the Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, giving us the assurance of God's presence in our lives. Every Sunday, the ducks in the town of Duck Central waddle out of their houses down Main Street to their church. They waddle into sanctuary and squat in their proper pews. The duck choir waddles in and takes its place. Then the duck minister waddles forward and opens the duck Bible. He reads from the chapter in which God declared that he created ducks with wings for a special purpose. After finishing his reading, he gazed at his duck congregation with a solemn expression. Then at the top of his lung, he began preaching, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can rise up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fences can hold you. You have wings. God has bestowed upon you wings, and you can fly like birds. To emphasize his point, he's saying, I believe I can fly. At the end of his sermon, it was the most powerful message ever delivered in the duck church and touched the hearts of every duck, young and old. Many of them were deeply moved to tears. The duck congregation responded to the life-changing message with a resounding amen. And then they all waddled home. Does it make sense to you? Well, I don't know. Maybe I should repeat that again. This is both funny and sad. You know why it is sad? Because many believers are like the dog. God has promised a powerful life of freedom from sin and the power of death. However, for various reasons, such as lack of faith, ignorance of God's word, and disobedience, the believers confine themselves to the old habit and lifestyle, remaining stagnant instead of making pilgrim's progress. Consider how the people in Jesus' hometown reacted after he read from the book of Isaiah and proclaimed his earthly mission to set the prisoners free. It's right after the text that we just read. Instead of honoring Jesus and appreciating that the Savior of the world lived in their humble town, they took him out of the city to the edge of the hill to throw him down headlong. That's how they reacted. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. He came to provide freedom and rest for the restless souls, yet many intentionally reject him and miss out on the life of freedom that Jesus offers. We'll explore the significance of Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath from the messianic perspective. I often use this messianic perspective. And relearn that the life of freedom that Jesus promised to all who believe in him. Reading and studying the Bible from the messianic perspective, which I have done over many years, always is fascinating. And if you can trust me, I'm going to share some math with you today, easy math, and stimulate your brain. And when the service is over, you will learn that your brain has become at least a year younger. So trust me. Jesus went to a synagogue in Nazareth and read from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke of the coming Messiah. After reading, he confirmed that he was the one the prophet Isaiah referenced. This official proclamation, which marked the beginning of his public ministry, took place on the Sabbath. And there's another key that's related to that. Sabbath. Jesus completed his earthly mission on the preparation day, that's a Good Friday, and was buried just before the Sabbath began. The following Sabbath, following the crucifixion and burial, was the day of total rest for God and Jesus the Son. There was no more work left for salvation, which God planned through his son's sacrifice at the time of Adam's fall. Now relate Jesus as the Lord of Sabbath to the seventh day cycle that God established in the beginning. God created the entire universe and everything in it in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Although God is all-powerful and does not need rest, the question arises, why did he rest on the first Sabbath? Jesus is the co-creator of the universe alongside God. He was present with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him. That's from John 1. God rested on the first Sabbath because Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath, was the co-creator. This was why Paul stated in Romans 1, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." In other words, creation reveals the nature of the Lord of the Sabbath. The seventh-day cycle is not just a number. It is the clock ingrained in the rhythm of the sun, moon, and the stars. An entire year operates on this seven-day cycle and shows that the design of the universe is the Lord of Sabbath. I mean, that's something that you can easily understand, right? There's much more that highlight Jesus as the Lord of Sabbath. Let's revisit the prophecy of Isaiah. "He has sent me to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release for the captive, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's Savior." And then the old translation said the acceptable year of the Lord. The good news to the poor, good news to the poor, suggests the cancellation of debt. What is the good news to the poor? That's cancellation of debts, because they have a lot of debts. Do you know which year it was when the slaves were freed and the debts were canceled during the Old Testament times? The sabbatical year, the seventh year, right? Here in the text, the prophecy points to the Jubilee. The Jubilee is the 50th year that follows seven cycles of sabbatical years. Sabbatical year is the seventh year that, if you go through the seventh cycle of that, that's a 49. 7 times 7 is 49, right? So 50th year after the seventh cycle of sabbatical year is completed, the 50th year is called the Jubilee. After the completing a full cycle of 7 by 7 years, the Jubilee arrives, granting freedom and liberty in every aspect. Now, this is something that took me a long time, but I just finally learned it this week. You know, the 50th year is the first year of the new 49-year cycle. Okay? So it goes 49-year, 49-year, 49-year. Now, if you go 10 cycles of that grand jubilee, how many years is that? 49 times 10. That's 490 years, right? Now, the prophet Daniel spoke of the 490 years. That's called the Grand Jubilee, I like to call it. In Daniel 9:24, it says, 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. In our ISV, 77s are translated as 70 weeks of seven. And many scholars agree that the NIV's translation, 77, is rather correct. Now, Daniel in 9:25. It says, we see a hint of 77, what the 77 means. That's 490, in other words, the Grand Jubilee. Let me read it. Verse 25. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, that is the Messiah, the ruler comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. 77s and 62 sevens. The number 77s were 490 years related to the year of anointed one. That's, you know, basically what the verse 25 says, okay? From the word goes out to build the Jerusalem, that's the decree, okay, by the ruler made to rebuild the Jerusalem until the anointed one. So let's do some math. The year, it's the restoration of Jerusalem. The decree, the year that went out to rebuild Jerusalem is found in Ezra 4. You can even Google up. I just make sure that I got the right year, and I Googled up, and it says 457. The decree for the restoration of Jerusalem was issued in 457, right? Calculate the duration from 457 to the completion of God's salvation. What's the year? 33 AD. What's the number? 490 years. That's exactly what Daniel 9:25 says. From the time the word goes out to restore Jerusalem, that's the decree went out, right? Until the Messiah arrives and completed the earthly mission for the forgiveness of sins. AD 33. That's the one grand jubilee. And then I also found that the one researcher that contends that the Israel history is structured around 490-year intervals. If certain years are excluded, such as the period of between the birth of Ishmael and Isaac, because you know God promised a son from Sarah, and the birth of Isaac, Ishmael and Isaac was kind of not valid in a way, from the perspective of the covenant making, right? And the years ruled by the judges when Israel did not have the one ruler, and then they did not follow God's way that they were given to them. I'm going to skip to the another side of 490. Hebrew and Greek are alphanumeric, meaning each alphabet, and therefore each word has a numerical value. Can you guess which Hebrew words have a numerical value of 490? 490? Bethlehem. Okay? Where Jesus was born. Molnadati, that means my nativity. And Tamim, which means perfect, complete, or finished. So if you put those words together on the 490 that symbolize the year of Jubilee, it means the perfect, sinless Son of God, the Messiah, was born in Bethlehem to provide long-suffering humanity rest from the power of sin. What other place but Bethlehem could be the Messiah's nativity? There is none other. For Bethlehem means, you know what Bethlehem means? Beth means a house. Lahim is the bread, the house of bread. Prophesied for the bread of life to be born. When Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive, Jesus answered, 70 times 7. He did not just simply say that, right? He implied his very mission of forgiveness on this earth, and that Peter should forgive as Jesus forgives. There is Lord's Prayer. The prayer Jesus taught is intertwined with this 490, with this mission on earth and his identity. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the place for the bread of life. That's a 490. To forgive for the forgiveness of sins. 70 times 7, that's a 490, right? And then go a little further. We have a communion today. Look how Jesus constituted a sacrament with the bread and said, as you take this bread, I give my life to you for the forgiveness of your sins. The bread of life, the forgiveness of sins go together. In the communion table, we find 490, the bread of life for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath, promised to those who repent their sins the life of Jubilee. To be liberated from sin and its consequences, to experience true freedom, people need to acknowledge their sins and repent. But look what people do. They continue to dwell in sin. An article from Associated Press in the Houston Chronicle in 2007 carried this following. A man who robbed a bank 10 years ago and was sentenced to 70 months in a federal penitentiary, that's prison, decided he liked prison life so much that he committed another crime so he could return. Danny Viegas walked inside the Federal Credit Union in Florida and told the teller that he was robbing her, adding, "You might as well call the police right now." Viegas then sat down on a couch in the lobby and waited for the police to arrive. He said he wanted to rob a federal bank because he wanted to go back to the federal prison, said Lieutenant Ron Wright of the South Daytona Police Department. Viegas had worked in construction in Texas for 5 years, but had grown tired of the work. When God created the universe, he established the rest in the Lord of Sabbath by resting on the seventh day. This marked the first Sabbath. Jesus, the Lord of Sabbath, came and fulfilled the mission of forgiving sins on Good Friday. That is the preparation day, right? Jesus, on that preparation day, prepared everything, completed everything to go into the Sabbath rest that follows. That Sabbath rest, right after that Good Friday, the preparation day, is the Grand Jubilee, if you calculate the prophecy of Daniel from chapter 9, 490 years. That's the second Sabbath. That's the Grand Jubilee. The Grand Jubilee that the entire universe had been anticipating since creation. By examining Jesus from every angle, there is no doubt that he is the Lord of Jubilee. He descended from heaven to set the prisoner free. Anyone who repents their sins and believes in Jesus will be liberated from the bondage of sin and death, entering into the Sabbath on earth. Entering into the Sabbath on earth. Let me share briefly, you know, how I began to prepare this message. And I found the song from Charles Wesley wrote, and in his song that he mentioned the second Sabbath. And I was wondering, what does he mean, this second Sabbath? And I have come up with this, after the study, come up with this message for you today. That's the second Sabbath. That's the grand jubilee that every follower of Jesus are promised to. We all can enter into that second Sabbath while we are still here on earth. And then what do we wait? We are waiting for the third Sabbath, the greatest jubilee in God's kingdom. The Lord of Jubilee completed his work of salvation and now stands ready to receive sinners. Why not repent of our sins, be washed in his blood, be saved, and enter the life of Jubilee. Amen. Let us turn to page 13 of our hymnal and let us prepare ourselves to come to the table of God's mercy that Jesus has prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take it, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. When Jesus had the Last Supper with the disciples, broke the bread and explained what that meant, what he meant, right? And he really meant it. He He broke his body for the forgiveness of our sins. The cup in which we all participate reminds us of the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't save any blood left over in his body, but he shed it to the very last drop. Meaning he gave up his everything for the forgiveness of our sins. So as we remember, let us, with gratitude and thanksgiving, take the body and drink from the cup. We are totally indebted to you, to what you did in Calvary. And as you have given us this privilege to participate in the communion that you consecrated, we give ourselves to you and to your service. May we continue on with gratitude and thanksgiving and rejoice in the salvation that you have given unto us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for continuing to support our church with your tithes and offerings, and you can place them in the offering plate at the back or, of course, bring them to the church office. Thank you. Thank you.
As we stand before your cross, we remember your unconditional love for us, the sinners, your pain and suffering that you endured to save us. So, Lord, our hearts are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. As we look at our lives, we know without you, our life has not been sustained. And we give you this offering that you are our Savior, that you are our sustainer. So we give you this offering with our thankfulness. And it's our commitment to you, O Lord, as you gave yourself up for our salvation, we give ourselves to love you and serve you. Receive this offering, therefore, and use it to build up your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join us in our final hymn, Because He Lives, number 364, and we'll sing verses 1 through 3.
Life is worth the living. We have a lot of fears, a lot of problems, a lot of stress, a lot of issues that this life gives. But Lord, you have spoken to us and reminded us that you have given us the the life of Jubilee. Empower us, O Lord, that we may be free from any bondage of life, any fears, any worries, that we may live freely from all that withhold us and celebrate our life in the Lord of Jubilee. Therefore, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,